I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to Current State. The Zika virus has remained in the headlines in recent weeks, primarily as a concern to pregnant women and their babies. With the Summer Olympics in Brazil on the horizon, recent conversations about Zika have included thoughts on how the disease might travel beyond the tropics in warmer climates. Now, MSU Associate Professor of Entomology, Dr. Michael Kaufman, recently spoke with Greening of the Great Lakes host, Dr. Kirk Heinze, about the Zika threat. They discussed what Zika might mean for Michigan this mosquito season. Dr. Kaufman tells us about a disease that's believed to have originated in Africa
and has spread through parts of French Polynesia into Asia. And most recently, the widest spread is in South America, Central America areas.
One of the most virulent aspects of this is the tendency to cause microcephaly among infants. What actually happens in those cases?
A lot of it remains a little bit unclear, but it appears that the virus somehow bridges from the mother to the developing infant, infects the brain tissue, and I think there's some recent research going on to try to determine which particular cells in the brain are affected and why Zika, this particular virus actually hits those cells. There are a lot of viruses transmitted by mosquitoes, including some in Michigan, that are what we call neuroinvasive, right? So you're probably familiar with West Nile.
You've certainly heard West
Nile, and that's going to be a recurring thing. We don't know what's going to happen these 2 years, but that's also a neuroinvasive virus in the same family as Zika. So it just doesn't, as far as we know, affect infants. And that's kind of the question as to why Zika is, particular in being able to invade the brain cells of developing infants.
Well, this program has a Great Lakes and a Michigan focus, so let's talk about the likelihood of Zika here in Michigan and in the Great Lakes region. There are a lot of questions, particularly among young mothers or pregnant women or those who are about to begin families, but what would you say to them?
Science is always a matter of probabilities, right? And my contention would be that the probability of anyone in Michigan picking up Zika via mosquito is extremely low. We don't have the mosquito species that we know transmitted in the tropics, so we don't have those particular mosquitoes here. And it's unknown exactly, how competent some of our native mosquitoes are. I mean, it's, again, I tell people it's probably in the lightning strike, probability numbers, very, very unlikely. The only time the Zika is going to come into Michigan is via a traveler, and we've had cases already. There have been several people who have been diagnosed with Zika who have traveled to some of the areas. Puerto Rico is one to really be watchful of. But once they get here, then, a particular mosquito, would have to bite that person. And then not only that, live long enough for the virus to kind of increase in the mosquito, and then it would have to find another person to bite. And the reason that, we have mosquitoes that would potentially do that in Michigan, but the Aedes aegypti mosquito, the one you introduced at the beginning of the program, is really, really tied into humans. So it is attracted to humans. It likes to bite humans first. Many of our mosquitoes around here, they'll bite a human, and if, then they need another meal, your dog is going to be, just as likely to, provide blood for it as, or deer, or, some other mammal that you'd find. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, but I think the risk.
No, but it's a good answer to the question.
Thanks. But I think the risks for, person in Michigan are really, really low. We can't say zero, but really, really low.
We're talking about the Zika virus with Dr. Michael Kaufman, who's an associate professor of entomology at Michigan State University. Mike, a lot of communities, though, not just in Michigan, but around the United States, are taking what they think are proactive measures, which often includes a lot of spraying of pesticides and what have you. Seems to me, based on what you just said, that number one, that might be a waste of money, and number two, it's not particularly good for the environment.
Depends on where you are in the United States, I'd say. So I think there are certainly southern states that have a higher risk, Florida being a really good example, places in Texas and some of the species of mosquitoes you can find, and even in Arizona and California, but they tend to be southern. Hawaii would be another, United States state, territory, or whatever, that potentially has the mosquito and could transmit Zika locally. There are two, to complicate the stories, there are two species that we think may be involved. The first, the yellow fever mosquito, is what most people think is the primary one. There's the Asian tiger mosquito, another invasive species that has a more northern distribution. And that, you know, if you're in an area with that mosquito, the risk, you know, increases relative to, say, those of us in Michigan, which we don't have either of those species here.
But that latter species you mentioned has moved further north, right?
Yeah, it's established. It's actually, exactly. So the worry, and in fact, I'm involved in this, and the state of Michigan is involved in looking for Aedes albopictus in areas of Michigan, you know, with the idea that if you have these populations and somehow Zika comes into a neighborhood or whatever, there could be, you know, minor local transmission. But that would be the most serious one. The yellow fever mosquito, even though if somebody brought some up here and started a, you know, population, you know, inadvertently or on purpose or whatever in the summer, it could do pretty well, you know, during a few months of our summertime, but it would never last through the winter. So it'd have to be like brought in, you know, every year for that. So back to your question about, you know, spraying and things, I think it actually is not necessarily a bad idea to be proactive in areas where you know you have Aedes aegypti. Aedes aegypti has in fact spread dengue and chikungunya locally in places in Florida. So these are diseases transmitted by the same mosquito. And, you know, again, there was enough of an influx of traveler, you know, related human people with diseases, and then the mosquito's already there, so it was able to transmit in some areas. So if you have that, if you're in an area where you have Aedes aegypti, I'd say the, you know, extra, you know, spraying or whatever is probably warranted. Then it gets a little iffy, in my opinion, as to whether just because you have albopictus, you're going to go blanket, you know, spraying, you know, in an area. It's not, again, it's not impossible. If we had albopictus, I'd say our risk in Michigan was, you know, elevated, but still, you know, relatively low to moderate for that. Most of the people that I know in mosquito control, either in districts here in Michigan or in private companies, are really very, very good at how they apply the pesticides. And if they're reputable and, you know, professional about it, the environmental impact should be, you know, relatively low. Yeah. So they use, if, for example, I mean, the common thing that people think about with mosquito spraying is, you know, like a truck coming down the street and, you know, spraying stuff all over. And it is a general insecticide, but it's has low toxicity, you know, for mammals and all that. And the formulations that are used under those circumstances, it's very low volume. It's really directed at small flying insects. And if they spray at night, you know, the majority of things are going to be hitting are mosquitoes. And it doesn't last very long. That's one of the key things. Once you, you know, this particular formulation, if you spray it, it's not like it lies around for weeks and weeks. It dissipates and becomes inactive, you know, fairly quickly. So there are concerns. There are concerns. People in my department who are experts on pollinators, you know, for example, you know,
we've done some stories on that for this program, right?
Yeah, yeah. There is some, you know, a lot of beekeepers are don't like mosquito control people, and I think some of that is unjustified because actually, again, the mosquito control people that I know of go out of their way to avoid, you know, spraying in areas. Again, they usually spray after bees are active, and the stuff doesn't last very long. But again, these are general insecticides, so you can never, you know, really say, okay, there's zero effect.
A couple of take-home messages for young mothers who might be pregnant or what have you listening to this program.
Gotcha.
What are some of the precautions they should be taking?
Right. So the biggest precaution you should be taking if you're traveling to areas with Zika, then you want to make sure that you're, you know, located in a place which has air conditioning, window screens, you know, avoid these mosquitoes. Use a good repellent if you're going to be exposed to it. The other half of this question, which is fairly unusual for similar viruses, is that it can be sexually transmitted.
Right.
So if you know, if you have a partner, husband who's been traveling to areas like that, and even though he may not be showing symptoms, right?
Right.
You know, you can get Zika and maybe not show symptoms. You should have him checked before you have sex or,
and
or take precautions,
yeah,
you know, when you have that, because that's, you know, that's the other way. I would actually say that people in Michigan are more at risk of, you know, getting Zika from a sexually transmitted act, you know, versus a mosquito.
Than Aedes aegypti.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, much more.
Right. Well, we've been getting the straight scoop on the Zika virus. And for more information, I know the Center for Disease Control has a lot of information.
Really, excellent.
You've written some papers for MSU Extension. People can just Google, I would imagine, Zika virus, but look for MSU Extension as one source of information.
Exactly.
My guest has been Dr. Michael Kaufman, Associate Professor of Entomology at Michigan State University. Mike, thanks for clearing up some of the myths and getting us straightened out on all things Zika.
My pleasure.